apologies to those of you who are waiting expectantly for English spoken podcast. We've been having festivals, at which time it's been very difficult for me to take the time to make the English podcast, aside from the kirtans, which are accompanying this talk during our Governor Pooch ceremony, which was a national festival that took place here on Sunday. That was a very wonderful festival. And well, I was able to do recordings of the class in Hungarian. Of course, that doesn't do English speakers any good. And yesterday I encountered typical difficulties with my telephone, so it may not be even that easy to guarantee daily podcasts until time I go back to Budapest. Even then, following that, we'll be doing a lot of traveling. Anyway, just to keep you abreast of our Sunday Govardhan Puja ceremony, we had a wonderful day. There was beautiful weather. Deities were beautifully dressed. We had long kirtan, abhishek, class. Then we had this little battle that we usually have at Govardhan Puja Day, when the ladies take sticks and the men try to come up the hill along the road leading to the temple, and the ladies get the opportunity to hit the men with sticks. Of course, the men have shields to protect themselves with, but that's all they have. And both the hits as well as the steps towards the temple are synchronized to the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Then after that, we went over to Goshala and had Go Puja. In addition to that, some of the mother cows who haven't had sponsors weren't being maintained in terms of their feed, carrying, and housing, were all sponsored. We had about probably 15 mothers who different devotees took, or even temples took responsibility for. We still have another 12 or so bulls. And if any of you out there would like to sponsor some bulls, because our business as Vaishnavas is to give protection to the cows, Krishi Gorakshavani Jam, you may not have opportunity to do so personally, but if you like to, then here is an opportunity to sponsor the lifetime maintenance of cows and bulls. The per head maintenance is 15,000 forint, which in pounds is, well, a little less than 40, say about 35 pounds a week, and about, a month, and $65, something like that. So if you'd like to, please send me your information on the website, and I'll communicate that to Radhakanta Prabhu, who's in charge of agriculture and cow protection, and we'll be dying to hear from you. Then we came back with kirtan, and of course Govardhan Lal was over there. When he was in the barn, he was in a all cow dung altar, beautiful cow dung altar, decorated, very elaborate, and even the offerings that he received were on cow dung plates and so on. Dried ones, of course. And then he came back in a brand new cart, which was pulled by our two younger bulls, who are just a little over a year old, and they were very frisky, and pulled Govardhan Lal back to the temple, where he had his feast, and devotees and temples brought mostly sweets from all over Hungary for Govardhan Lal, and as usual, it took up half the temple, but devotees really outdid themselves and cooked very, very good quality things in great quantity. In fact, this was the largest offering Govardhan Lal has ever had. And I'll just tell you how many kilos of things came from which temple, because we weigh everything. From Debrecen, there was 50 kilos. From Kecskemét, 61. From Pécs, 123. From Eger, 128. Budapest temple, well, it was difficult to count because they brought one cake that was beyond the capacity of our scales to weigh. We had to make a scientific calculation of its weight based upon the size, sort of the square meterage of the cake, because it was about 2 meters by 2 meters wide, and I don't know, three levels high, and we figured it went on a basic gravitational density of 1.3. Anyway, Budapest temple altogether about 477 kilos. New Rajadam cooked 1,037 kilos, and altogether there was 1,876 kilos of, as I say, 95% sweets for Govardhan Lal. If you want to know how many pounds that is, just multiply that by 2.2, and it probably hits just about 4,000 kilos of sweets. In addition to which, devotees bought, because we tried to collect Radisham's quota of ghee for the year, didn't exactly succeed because we used about 2 kilos a day, but we got 500 kilos, which is of butter, and 32 kilos of ghee. I mean, it almost added up to 530, comes close to Radisham's annual consumption of ghee. And now I'm going to talk about pride, because that was the subject of the lecture on Govardhan Puja. Devotees had already observed during the week, on Tuesday I believe it was, the actual ceremony, so they heard about the pastime. And I was commenting from 10th canto, 24th chapter, text 31, where Shukadev Goswami says, Kalatmana Bhagavata Shakra Darpa Jigham Shaya Proktam Nisham Yanandadya Sadva Gurinan Tatad Vacha. Shukadev Goswami said, Lord Krishna, who is himself powerful time, desired to destroy the false pride of Lord Indra. When Nanda and the other senior men of Vrindavan heard Sri Krishna's statement, they accepted his words as proper. Pride is a quality that we all have, unfortunately. And here it's advantageous for us to memorize and remember this pastime of Govardhan Puja, so that we also give up whatever false pride we have. And if we don't, recognize that Krishna, just like he rid Indra of his pride, will also rid us of our pride. And Indra's pride was the pride of position. He was the king of heaven. Of course, there are many different types of pride. Janma, Aishwarya, Shruta, Shri. Pride of good birth, pride of bodily beauty, pride of wealth and opulence, pride of learning and knowledge. So many different types of pride. And this one quality is not just a undesirable quality. It's not just a material quality, but in the 16th chapter, Krishna says, Dampo Dharpa Bhimanascha, it is a demoniac quality. And Srila Prabhupada points out that the cause of pride is our forgetfulness or ignorance of our real self. In other words, when we forget that we're very, very tiny, we're very insignificant, we're very meaningless, then we become proud, thinking what? Thinking that we're the Lord of the world. We're thinking that we're actually God. And Srila Prabhupada equates pride with false ego. So as long as the false ego dominates, as long as there's ahankar, what fuels that ahankar is our pride. That whatever we may be just an ant, we may be a Brahma, we may be an Indra, We may be a beggar in the street, but we will always find something to be proud of, because that is the influence or the effect of the bodily concept of life. It's very interesting that Srila Prabhupada points out that in the Amar Kosh Sanskrit dictionary, the word maya also means false pride. Thus, as long as someone is in maya, he is proud. Therefore, we should consider that this type of artificial frame of mind, forgetfulness of our true self, thinking that we're more than what we are, being an illusion about things, this false identity is the cause of our pride. And unfortunately, in Kali Yuga, we don't necessarily recognize that pride in ourselves or in others, although our business is first to look for defects in ourselves rather than in other living entities. And the reason for that is described in the first canto, when Yudhisthira Maharaj saw the symptoms of Kali coming. He saw that one of the symptoms of Kali Yuga was that people were becoming accustomed to pride. In other words, they no longer saw it as being a hideous quality. They no longer saw proud people as someone who you avoid. But because it was manifesting in everyone, they just accepted it as being the status quo and got used to it. And it's for this reason that Parikshit Maharaj later on had to banish Kali, because one of the four legs of a religion, a dharma, is animal killing. And Srila Prabhupada equates animal killing with pride. When you're proud and you think that you have a right to take away the life of another, that you're the Lord and you can decide life or death over other living entities, then that is what you will actually do. And of course, a proud mentality leads one to perform sinful activities, to commit offenses, the result of which is that one destroys the result of one's spiritual activities, one's austerities, and we fall down. In the material world, they have this saying, pride before the fall. Indra offended Krishna because he was measuring godhood in terms of size. He was thinking that this little child, because he's so small and because he's a cowherd, he cannot be the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Indra made other such mundane calculations based on false pride. For instance, later in the sixth canto, when we see that thinking that he's the king, he didn't stand up to receive his spiritual master, who entered into his palace, and he remained on his throne. Sutta Goswami's father, Romaharshan Sutta, also thought, I'm the speaker of Srimad Bhagavatam, I'm sitting on the Vyasasan, so I don't have to offer my obeisances to anyone who comes. And when Lord Balaram came, who is personified Bhagavatam, then Romaharshan Sutta did not greet him. Even the Yadus, they became, as devotees, excessively proud of their family connection with Krishna, and as such, they became a burden, which Krishna then later removed by arranging them to fight each other. So everyone can become proud, and unfortunately, we see that even devotees engage in devotional service out of pride. Sometimes their pride is very strong, and therefore they want to demean others, they want to cause harm to other living entities and devotees. That is devotional service in the mode of ignorance, which seems simply leads to lower birth. When devotees engage in devotional service for the purpose of recognition and distinction, they're proud of their Sankirtan results, they're proud that they are nice singers, they're proud of their devotional learning, they're proud that aren't I a austere and wonderful devotee. That kind of devotional service in the mode of passion. It also does not attract Krishna. Only devotional service in the mode of goodness, which is for the purpose of advancing in spiritual life, or better yet, devotional service which is meant to please Krishna, which is completely free of pride, attracts the Lord. Even devotional service in the mode of goodness, one becomes proud of one's learning, one's happiness, one's stability in one's position. So we should try to remove all these things. And the basic way to become free from pride is by knowledge of who we are. Who are we? Jivara Swarupo Nitya Krishna Das. We're Krishna's eternal servants. And we should remain Krishna's eternal servants by cultivating knowledge that keeps us in that awareness, in that consciousness. We are freed from pride. We should learn how to serve others. This is why deity worship is compulsory for devotees, so that we're aware that we are servants, so that when our hands and knees washing the temple floor, very good for our false ego. What to speak of Padasevana, rubbing our noses in the mud of Vrindavan that's mixed with cow dung, and what to speak of passings of the pigs and dogs. Then you realize, oh, I'm really nothing. And in terms of the cultivation of knowledge, the whole Bhagavatam is meant to free one from pride. At the conclusion of the Chatushloki, Itavadeva Jignasa, the Lord tells Brahma, by being aware of this knowledge, you will be free from pride. It's the one thing that he tells Brahma that he will be freed from. He doesn't mention other things. He says, you'll never become overcome by pride if you understand the knowledge which I have taught to you. And interestingly enough, in the Narayan Kavacha, it is stated that to become free from pride, we should pray to Nara of Nara Narayan Rishis. We should pray to Nara Rishi, who is Arjuna. In other words, Arjuna, by hearing the teachings of Bhagavad Gita, became free from all false pride and did as Krishna wanted, which was to fight. He thought that going off into the forest and being a sannyasi would please Krishna, but Krishna was not at all pleased by that. He considered that this was Arjuna's pride to do something different than what he wanted. And of course, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu summarizes for us the antithesis of a proud person, which is a humble person, by saying, Trinadapi sunichena tarori vasihishtuna amani ramanadena kirtaniya shudahari. If we consider ourselves to be lower than the blade of grass, if we're tolerant in all circumstances, accepting everything, we offer respect to everyone and don't expect respect from anyone. Cultivate these four qualities. This is the way to become free from pride. And when we've achieved this pridelessness, then Srila Prabhupada says, then one can begin the surrendering process. You can't really surrender to Krishna until you're proud. Until you're proud, you can't chant the holy name, Kirtaniya Sadahari, free from offense. So if we want success in devotional service, if we want success in chanting the holy names of the Lord, then we have to become free from pride. For this reason, Indra, who was a Sakama Bhakta, a devotee full of material attachments, Krishna humbled. And he humbled him not in private, like Arjuna, he humbled him in public, in order to qualify Indra for pure devotional service. So everyone, be careful. Be careful of your opulence, be careful of your learning, be careful of whatever you have, your family, your comforts, your creature comforts. Don't let these things intoxicate you, so that you do not hear the voice of the Lord within your heart, you do not hear the good counsel of Vaishnavas. Because if you don't, then Krishna will humble you. He will make arrangements to humble you. And when he does, it may be in a public forum, which it seems to be that Krishna is fond of doing that, because that's when you become really humble. If Krishna humbles you just in private, then what will you do when you leave the room? Someone asks you, what happened in there? You said, oh, nothing, everything was all right. In other words, we weren't humbled. So unless we make acts to humble ourselves, Krishna will humble us in public. Because when you're humbled, as Arjuna was, in the presence of millions, and the same thing with Indra, before all the Vrijvasis, all the demigods, then your pride is really gone. And as Srila Prabhupada said, when he was leaving this world, and when you lose your body, you have nothing to be proud of. So when Krishna really smears your nose in the mud of Braj, just like, you know, if you've ever had the practice of housebreaking a dog, And what do you do when a little puppy passes through the urine on the carpet? You stick his nose in it. So similarly, if we insist on behaving in such a stoolish way as Vaishnavas, Krishna will stick our nose in it. Therefore, better not wait till then. Better to work on ourselves by cultivating these qualities, serving of Trinada Pishunichina, serving Vaishnavas, studying Shastra, and getting rid of this bad quality that turns Brahmanas into demons. Hare Krishna.